Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. Chum 104.5. Podcast.
I was going to finish the sentence for him. The summer of la.
That was the sound of summer finishing.
That's right.
It's ended. That's kind of how summer day happened here. It just ended one day. Like, one day, like, everything was different. We wake up and all of a sudden all the... And that's the sound of winter piercing our brains.
That's right. That's right. At the sound of this tone, winter will begin.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It's a Monday, and that's what it's all about.
Yep.
Yep.
Wet outside,
yep.
Cold outside.
Yep.
Don't let those things fool you, or let them...
I wonder what's happening there.
We've got some sound issues in the studio.
We do have some sound issue. We do. We're going to fix that in a second.
Yeah,
what a weekend. You know, on that note, with the rain and the not sure what the weather's going to be, you know what I rewatched?
Mm-hmm.
Poltergeist.
Oh, my goodness. I haven't seen that in years. Poltergeist.
Here.
what? How good or bad did it look?
Great.
It looks good?
Really great.
Okay.
Like, you know, I think about, when I look at movies like that, I go, it's done in the 70s, right? I thought, you know, for that time, I give it a pass.
Sure.
For that time, that was really good. And it scared me.
It's wild how things, like, over time start to have wear and tear,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, yes, I mean, the picture probably looked all janky and fuzzy and stuff like that, but was the acting and the scariness still effective?
It's still really good, you know, when whatever that monster is grabbing the kid out of the bedroom and taking him in and swallowing him up, but then the father goes in, Craig T. Nelson, and saves him, and then, oh, my God.
Oh, man.
But she disappears.
That's crazy. Poltergeist, 1982.
Was it 82? Okay.
82, there you go. Yeah.
Joe Beth Williams, Craig T. Nelson, and the rest of the crew. Anyway.
That was one of those movies that when I was growing up, I was like, I just remember like when I heard kids had watched it, I felt really like, wow, you're so advanced. Like you were able to watch this. Like either they had really cool parents or they had some kind of really cool tolerance at a young age.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I can't and won't watch that.
And I won't be able to sleep, so forget it. So yeah, I thought, well, I'll go into an old Halloween, because this is Halloween week.
Yeah.
It's perfect weather, the rain, the leaves falling, you know, even the blow-up ghosts in my neighborhood are all flattened. The Poltergeist is a perfect choice.
That's what's up.
What'd you watch?
I haven't watched any Halloween-related stuff. I've just been into basketball. I'm really trying to stay abreast of the season. And Raps had some challenges this weekend. Saturday didn't turn out so well.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm just looking at the whole league. It's a really exciting basketball season. So that's been monopolizing my time.
That's good. Why not? The weather's not so good outside.
Yeah,
sure.
Tell me about it.
Did Kofi pick out his Halloween outfit yet? Costume?
Let me tell you. Yes, twice. And, like, I think, like, with kids, like, every day, they're so fickle. Yeah. And every day he changes opinion on something. Like, at one point, he wanted to be a, I don't want to say too loud so he hears, he wanted to be a construction worker.
Of course.
So I get the construction worker costume, and it's like, hey, here's the construction worker. He wore it one day just to kind of try it on.
Yeah.
And then another day, I'm like, hey, get ready for Halloween. Construction worker time is almost here. I don't want to be a construction worker. I'm like, no. Are you kidding me? Amazon, Amazon this, the supply chain issues, we got past all of that. What do you want to be now? He's like, I want to be Mickey Mouse. So now it's like construction worker Mickey Mouse. So I got that Mickey Mouse costume.
Good for you.
Stashed it.
Yeah.
And we're just going to play it like a game day decision. Like on day of, what's it going to be?
You know what? When you make it their choice, then it's you'll win one or the other.
Unless you choose this PJ mask on Halloween
day. And then you're in big
trouble. And then
you're gunned
down. It's all messed up. So,
anyway, Halloween week, it's all good.
Chum 104.5 Horoscopes. Aries.
If the events have you left wondering, why bother? Today's zesty influences can give you a brighter perspective, Aries. It's understandable if someone has let you down, but it's time to pick yourself up. There are people around who will support you, and you have a 5 today, so enjoy it.
Sagittarius.
Well, the usual methods are all well and good, but the cosmos encourages you to take on new ideas. So today, it might not be information that creates a breakthrough, but an intuitive nudge, like a little nudge. So trust your gut when it tells you to try something new. Sagittarius, your day is a 7.
Virgo.
Who you know could be an asset that should help you with a goal. Their advice might set you on the right path, but that also help increase your income and bring about an opportunity. There's a lot of scope to raise your game, Virgo. So you've got a big day today. Look through that scope and have an 8 type of day today.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar.
Pass me the coffee.
The Chum Morning Show.
Morning. There was a recent survey done in the United Kingdom as to which of the accents of the countries there were the most appealing. Which one was the most sexy? And I don't know if I would have guessed this.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't hear this country really come up in many conversations of sex appeal. Not that they're not sexy, but you just don't hear the Scottish come up as like the sexy,
wow. Yeah.
Sexy of people. But that was the ruling. The Scottish accent, and this as it pertains to the United Kingdom and the UK, the Scottish accent was voted the sexiest accent of the UK. I am really surprised at that.
I am too. I don't know why.
The Scottish accent.
Yeah.
Scottish, as in like Groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons.
Get your haggis right here.
Yes, that angry groundskeeper.
Wasn't Sean Connery Scottish? James Bond?
If he's still alive, yes. He still is Scottish.
I remember him having a Scottish light. Maybe not as so hard-edged, right?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I just Wikipedia. Yeah. It's Sean Connery.
Yeah.
He's Scottish.
Yeah. Yeah. So they probably had to tell him, hey, tone it down a little bit. Yeah. Like, round your corners a little bit. So that is the sexiest.
Can you imagine?
No.
Sean Connery had the sexiest accent. I don't even really, I've never really thought about that. I mean, I guess Scottish and Irish have a very distinct sound. I can't describe it, but they're distinct.
You know what I'm saying? They are.
So, the Scottish are the sexiest. Is there an accent that you think that is sexier than the Scottish accent necessarily?
I think, and I'm trying to find it here, a very high-end, get ready for this, Spanish accent.
Yeah.
That is like pretty.
Like the actual Spanish?
Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Javier Bardem when he's, you know, dressing up for a character, or Penelope Cruz.
What color are your eyes?
Yeah. You could text 104536 if you want to weigh in on the sexiest accent. But yeah, you're right. A lot of people regard the Spanish accent as pretty sexy because if you think of the Spanish language as compared to the English language, Spain English is to Spanish as English, British English is to English. It's like the highest level of like
high-end affluence.
Yes. Top shelf.
Yeah, yeah.
And like some of their words, they do this like with the Spanish accent. They kind of like, they have a lisp like kind of quality to some of the words.
Right.
That are supposed to be kind
Ibiza.
Of like snooty. Yeah, yeah. Ibiza, like instead of Ibiza. It's like kind of snooty in that
way.
Do
you know what the word is on that?
What's up?
Back in the day, the king had a lisp.
Is that where this comes from?
Yeah. And because the king had a lisp and because he was affluent, they thought, well, to sound really like high end, we will also incorporate the lisp.
I did not know that.
Yes.
I'm so glad I learned that today. Yeah. That's great.
I thought that was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, someone just reminded me, Sean Carney did die recently.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I he's still alive in my head.
Yeah, he will always be alive.
Right. So, the Spanish accent, listen, I don't want to be a little, narcissistic here, but I love a good Jamaican accent.
Yeah.
I just think it's beautiful. I think even if you have the luxury of getting cursed out by a Jamaican woman.
What's it sound like?
It's the most beautiful cuss out. We call it a tracing. If you get traced by a Jamaican woman, it's just like, you're just like, if you don't know what she's saying, you'll probably just look at her and go, oh, wow, what did you just say to me? But it's like terrible. She's saying the most disgusting things to you. But it's a great accent.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar.
Come on. In the morning.
My station.
Chum 104.5.
Any Scots listening to the show? Any Scottish? Bring sexy back. Give us a call. 416-870-1045. Apparently, the Scottish accent, out of all of the accents in the United Kingdom, voted the sexiest. I mean, not even the biggest population in the UK. That means that in the majority of everyone, they voted. They all agreed that the Scottish had the sexiest. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Wouldn't have guessed that. I would.
It's a bro-bricked, moon-licked, nicked. And the second one here, there's a moose loose about this hoose.
Okay,
is that the
go.
Scottish? Look at that. I heard in a boot.
A boot, which is close to Canada.
Yes, that would be like...
Yeah, out in a boot.
That could possibly be what's happening here. We get some of the boots from Scotland, and they bring it to Nova Scotia, New Scotland.
There you go.
And it just spreads, right?
There you go. Let's go back to the Spanish one. I'm going out of the UK.
Sure.
And let's hear the beautiful Penelope Cruz.
I think we were one of the first people in our neighborhood to have a video machine, and we were able to go to a little video store that was there. We were not in the city. We were in the outskirts.
It's not fair.
There you go.
That's not fair.
We don't have a sample of this, but then there's Sofia Vergara, who is screaming.
Right.
Your Modern Family.
Right.
Jay.
Right. You know?
So it depends on where you're from and, you know, the tone and everything like that.
Sure. And your approach to it. What is the sexiest of the Canadian accents I'm learning? Like all across this beautiful land of ours from coast to coast.
Gosh, I don't even know.
Which one? Anyone want to weigh in on that? Like, which one would be the sexiest of the Canadian accents? I mean, is it the Toronto accent?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm looking at you going, I'm not sure.
Yeah, really?
Because I think I put it all in one. There's Quebecois, but that's got a hard edge to it.
But then you have like that West Coast thing, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
It's kind of, we call it the Northwest Freeze. It's a very friendly accent, but really little do you know that they're doing something behind your back. It's a friendly kind of thing, but it is called the Northwest Freeze.
Okay. That Northwest Freeze.
I don't know. I don't mean to insult anybody because, you know, my husband is from Seattle, and I spent many, many years out in the Northwest, and I thought they're very friendly, but there's something like not quite the way the tonality, I guess it is.
Someone is weighing in and saying that the Newfie accent, the Newfoundland accent, is the sexy one.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. You as you're getting screeched in, you're falling in love with the whole process. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. It's the charm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wake me up. It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Chum 104.5.
Get up.
Get your Halloween costume sorted yet? If you're doing Squid Game as a costume this year, there's one item that you're going to have a little trouble finding. It's the white Vans, the sneakers, you know, the white slip-on shoe. It's now in high demand, and there's a run on it. You probably can't even find them anywhere. These are the shoes that they're wearing with the tracksuits in Squid Game. In every couple of years, the Vans just come back into pop culture. It's crazy. These shoes will not go away.
No.
Like every couple of years, Vans just get popular again. It's either skater culture or some music video. I mean, there was a song that was called Vans at one point, and now they're back because of Squid Game.
Yeah, so, but that's not the first time there's been an influential situation on television that made people go out and either buy something or have something done to themselves, like Jennifer Aniston and Friends, that cute little Rachel haircut. Everybody got it, right?
Yeah.
The Rachel haircut. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So would someone actually go into a salon and be like, hey, give me the Rachel?
Yeah, give me the Rachel.
Sorry, ma'am, you've
got curly hair. We can't do that. Well, I want it anyway. So they would take the curly hair. They would, you know, cut it and whatever those layers were. And there you had the Rachel haircut. How about E.T.?
What happened with E.T.?
Reese's Pieces.
Oh, yeah. Those became really popular after he was eating the Reese's Pieces E.T. What a creepy movie.
Yeah.
I did this with Adele's nails. Like when so just a couple weeks ago when her Vogue photo shoot went public, there were some really nice close-up shots of her nails. And I screenshot this, took it into my nail tech, and I said, hi, I'd like the Adele nail, please. So this is totally true.
Totally true. Another one would be Sex in the City, Manolo Blahnik's.
Oh, the shoes, the Manolos?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
That's a big one right there.
Product placement. And sometimes this stuff doesn't even, I don't think they even mean for it to go so big. Like, I don't think Squid Game knew that, like, just white Vans were going to be such a big deal. But they inadvertently do become big.
Did you see Fleabag at all?
Yes, I love that show. Yeah. Love.
Well, when they found out that the hot priest on Fleabag was a fan of M&S Gin and Tonic, well, sales went through the roof.
And everybody wanted that.
Everybody wanted that. Yeah. Isn't that cool?
That is very, very interesting. But sometimes they do it on purpose, like, you know.
Yeah, product placement. Yeah,
of course. Like
subliminal advertising.
Well, right now, like if you go to a club and you order Ciroc, you definitely are a fan of Diddy. Because Diddy Ciroc was around before Diddy started, you know, pushing the stuff. And now that he is, you know, the guy in front of it, now everybody wants Ciroc. Now
everybody wants it.
Yeah.
You know, on Toy Story 2, you know, it came back to life. People wanted to buy it. You guys might remember this. Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wanted an Etch-a-Sketch. It was kind of a reboot, you know. This is pre-pandemic, of course, but yeah. Right?
It's funny all the ways we've been influenced. Like, I've definitely been influenced by things in pop culture like this before.
Absolutely.
100%.
Wake up. Wake up, Toronto. It's Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Wake up. On Chum.
It's all in your head. Age, that is. According to many people, you're never too old to do certain things. Debbie is on the line. Tell us. Debbie, welcome to the show, by the way.
Good morning. I just absolutely love you guys. I just have to say that. Listen to you every morning.
Thank you.
Never too old to listen to the morning show.
No, absolutely. Marilyn, I love you. I've been listening to you forever and ever and ever and watching you on TV forever.
It's a long time, Marilyn.
It's a long time. Forever's a long time.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
So, what is it that you're not too old? I started playing hockey when I was 45.
Stop it.
Look at that.
And I joined a team that had mature women play on it, and there's four teams in the league, and we had, after the games, we would have parties, and we would have awards, and the team that won the championship had an 81-year-old woman, and the average age was 65.
How about that?
Yes, it's never too late. Never say no. You never know what you can and put yourself through and actually really do.
Had you played hockey before, though?
No. I watched my kids play, and I absolutely loved watching them come off the ice. They'd go in miserable. And, you know, they had a crappy day. They had a fight with their friends. And then they'd come off the ice, and their cheeks would be red. And they would have this big smile on their faces.
Yeah.
And I thought, this must be doing something for their psyche, because they're coming out, and they're so excited, and they feel good, and they want to do things. I want to have that feeling. So I borrowed my daughter's equipment to see if I'm actually going to like it.
Yeah.
And I played with her extra small stuff, but I managed. And then I was introduced to a program called Skate and Player thing, and then I did that for about 4 weeks, and then somebody said, there's a team for women your age.
And awesome. You guys are playing full contact?
No contact.
Okay, there's no contact.
Straight hockey, so you can't bump into anybody. If you bump into them accidentally, you pick them up. And it's such a respectful game with the women, because you bump into somebody, you pick them up, and you help them
out. Say sorry.
You say you're sorry.
Right.
And the women are like, it's because it's 4-team and you get picked to a team, every year you get selected to a team. There's a captain and they select you, and so you get selected on the team. And then after about 6 weeks, they see how everybody's playing, and then they go, okay, this team is too strong, too many good players on it, let's divide them.
Okay.
Wow.
So they kind of just dissemble and stuff. So everyone's got their teeth. Or if they don't, it's for a different reason.
Yes, no, everybody has their teeth. We all play with mouth guards
in
a cage. Nobody plays with anything that's not protecting their face.
Gotcha.
And are the games as long as regular, let's say, you know, house league games?
They're 12 minutes. I think we have 12 minutes, 10 and 12 minutes.
Okay.
And
I
it's
love
wonderful.
It.
And I wear with lipstick, so I always play with lipstick.
Look at
and
that.
He always looks at me and they go, you got lipstick on our mouth guard. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Very nice.
I love the fact that you let us know about that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I love playing it. The first year I started, I have to tell you, I was so hooked. I played on 4 teams.
Wow, lady.
And my husband said, you're crazy. And I said, I'm just having so much fun. It just feels so good.
Aww.
So there, never too late.
Never too late.
There it is. There it is. She's living
That's
proof.
It.
That is it. That is one of the things that everyone thinks that, like, once you get a certain age, you cannot do it.
Yeah.
No, not true.
Hockey, I wasn't even thinking hockey. I'll tell you that. Amazing. Love it.
Exactly. For a retirement home, they needed to bring in sex ed.
Big time. Okay, here's one. And, you know, when you're younger, you go, I do this so well. I think I do. No one's really what. And this is before, you know, phones and everything, and pictures and cameras and all that stuff. Dancing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know that there's a kind of an awkwardness when you see older people dance. I don't care. I'm going to continue to dance.
But it actually becomes more cute as you get older, right?
I guess
then you're like, look at them. Look at them doing their thing still.
Yeah, that's okay. And it is warm. It is so, when you go to a wedding and you see older people dance, you go, I love you so much.
It's the highlight of the wedding.
Because they're so outside themselves, right, guys? They don't care what other people think. That's the other thing. Filter, gone.
Now, here's something that both you guys might actually never grow out of, because someone from Oshawa just texted in and said, my mom is 91, and she's never too old to give me crap.
That's right.
So lacing into your kids, you never grow out of.
They're always your kids, right?
Exactly.
Wake up, Toronto. Let's keep it moving. Good morning. Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar on Chum.
So crazy. Have you guys experienced any of the shortages yet? Have you felt the shortage stuff yet?
Only when you go grocery shopping going, okay, well, where's the, you know, bounty? Or wears, you know, the paper towel or the toilet paper stuff.
Yeah.
But I see the thinness of things down in the States, like when I went to Target. Yes, I went to Target. We were looking at certain products and like a water flosser, you know, those water flossers?
Yeah.
Sure. Two of them were left on the shelf. I don't know.
So like the shelves and the end caps are like empty.
Yeah. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff. And then that. So yeah, I'm thinking to myself, wow, people like to floss their teeth in Pittsburgh.
Okay. I was looking for some stuff this weekend for the basement.
Yeah.
And I go online to go check it out, you know, check out like Wayfair, maybe Amazon or whatever. And I found like a piece of furniture that I needed that I liked. And I was like, this one, boom. Try to order it. It says back order, earliest possible delivery. Said like February. I was like, what?
Yeah,
February. Wow. And then I kept looking for other stuff in the same realm.
Yeah,
and it was the same. January, February. Some even said March.
Yeah. Huh.
So the supply chain issues are real.
They are.
I know a lot of you listening are experiencing it right now. You could text 104536. What did you try to order? And realize that what they're talking about in the news is actually real life.
It really is.
Here's something else that you're going to be experiencing. And this is going to really mess up the holidays, which are coming up. Alcohol.
Oh.
Alcohol shortage, y'all. Like, really. Like, they're saying not even just the alcohol themselves. They're having trouble making it. They're having trouble delivering it. And the bottles themselves, they can't even get enough material to make the bottles for alcohol.
Then put them in a box.
Yeah, it may be. Like, they box up wine, right? So box up my rum and send it on, right?
By the way, have we ever seen, you know, they've got the big boxes that, you know, you open up the thing and it pours in your glass. What about the little juice boxes? Make that into wine glass.
A Tetra Pak.
Oh, wow. How great that would be.
Wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't that be awesome to have like a juice box with a little straw for whiskey? Yeah.
Love it. Capri Sun, but for adults.
Yeah.
Ooh,
great idea.
Exactly. In. Love it.
I love it. I thought that was a great idea.
It's happening. Yeah. Maybe you'll see it. Right now, a lot of liquor stores in Los Angeles are saying that they can't even stock shelves in certain items, like something like the vodkas and the gins and stuff like that. They can't even keep the shelves stocked. As they put stuff on the shelf, they're gone, and then it maybe takes another week to get stuff back on the shelf again.
I think about early 2020, I ordered a couch for the living room.
Mm-hmm.
It came December 2020.
Yeah.
So January to December, that was back then. So that what they're saying to you right now with the holidays coming, this is the big concern.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a store and you see, for example, a toy that Santa will not provide, because Santa's got his own supply of toys, if you can go get that, get it. So instead of ordering it, because there's no guarantee.
Yeah.
If there's something special you want and you can get it at a store, go get it at the store, because there's no guarantee of when this is going to be delivered to you.
Or just take the model that they're giving you right there.
Yeah.
Like the model that's in the store, because ordering it, there's no telling when it'll come.
What's the deal when there is nothing left in a store and you say to the peeps, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
The model. We can't do the display model. Why won't they sell that to
me? I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because they can't guarantee the warranty on some of that stuff, because a million hands have touched it. Like a bunch of, if it's a fridge, 10 million people have opened the doors in the fridge. It'll get to your house, Marilyn.
You'll
open the door, the whole door will fly off, and then you'll go back to the place and be like, my fridge is defective, and they won't own the warranty.
Okay, so I get that I get that. But clothing. Oh, I can't do that top. Why?
Just take it off the mannequin.
Take it off the mannequin.
I know.
I don't understand that, but more and more that's going to happen. But I'll just say this. There was a fire on one of the big barges in BC this last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 to 12 containers. See you later.
Your stuff is on that container. And you're listening right now. Yeah,
my lemon cake is still on it. Anyway, it's just crazy. Think about wedding dresses, all that stuff.
Maybe. Hey, do you know with Santa, will he deliver alcohol? Santa?
I think if you make a special. I think so. You can ask.
Give him a shout.
Why not ask? The worst that can happen is no.
Because Christmas will not be Christmas without my drunk uncle, right? Like, if he's sober, it's not going to be fun, right? Okay.
It's a unique request, but if you're a good boy, then things will happen.
Okay. If you have a direct line to the big guy, let us know.
Marilyn Dennis and Jamar.
Chum 104.5.
We'll see you at 11 o'clock for another Beat the Bank, hopefully. You're there when your name is called. If we open up a door for Halloween and get certain types of candy, we're probably going to judge the person giving the candy based on the type that we get.
Yeah, like your personality, your status.
So tell us about the list.
Well, they say that when you're giving out candy, if you're giving out king-size chocolate bars, That means that you got money.
Really?
You got money, and you got what it takes, and you are the favorite place to go. And behind that is sour and extreme flavors are the best, and then any kind of chocolate after that is ideal. So it sounds like king-size chocolate bars matter, and then after that, sweet and sour, and after that, more chocolate. According to a study, buying branded candy might mean someone is making an effort to people-please.
So... Oh, to Pete.
Yeah, so if you buy, if there's a fear that if you handed a subpar candy, you know, the generics, your reputation in the neighborhood will take a nosedive.
100%.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Just think about it. Like, when you get, like, can you imagine walking into a house and getting generic Twizzlers? Like, not Twizzlers, but just some kind of generic strawberry licorice, and it has no name, and it's, like, little bits of it, and you're just like, what is this?
Right, what is it?
Who are you?
Yeah.
Why did you think I'd like this?
You know, back in the day, people would give out in our neighborhood little raisins, sun-made raisins packets. I'm like, what? I get that in my lunch.
That's the worst house on the block.
Yeah,
yes, it was.
Like, when you give out the boxes of raisins, oh, my gosh.
How about,
like,
the people that get the toothpaste?
They're the vegan guys on the block. Like, it's the vegan house.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man.
Come on. What about the toothbrush and toothpaste? Well, definitely a dentist.
Right.
We had one of those.
Not cool.
And we also had, when it was cool to do, it was, you can't do any more apples. Well, first of all, they're heavy. I don't want an apple. I want candy.
People are giving out apples for Halloween.
The old lady down the street, Mrs. Burton. Yeah, she would get. Yeah, she was lovely, mm-hmm. Very lovely woman. But just wanted the kids to make sure that they took care of their teeth. So they also say if a person gives away chocolate gummies and candy corn, they probably bought the candy for themselves. Well, I think it's a good idea to buy candy for yourself, because if you have any left over, at least you can eat it. Or if you're on a diet, don't buy candy that you like, so you won't eat it.
You know what's so funny? Like, I don't know. I haven't bought Halloween candy in a while, but, I mean, candy corn, that can't even be a thing anymore.
It's
like,
only, it's pretty.
Well, it's not individually wrapped. Unless they're individually wrapping the candy corn now.
They're doing the little plastic thing.
Little like per corn, or just like, or...
No, little little packets.
Like a little packet
eight.
Of corns?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what does it say about the people who buy the Thrills soap-flavored gum? Anything about them?
Wait, a what?
Have you guys ever tried these? The Thrills gum that tastes like soap? Yeah.
Never had them.
I can't believe it, that these are even a thing that are, like, given out.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want that.
Did you want gum?
I wouldn't want soap-flavored gum. I'm like,
I don't want gum.
The personality test here tells me that whoever is picking that is a masochist. Like, something's wrong with you. You're giving out soap gum.
Gum is a little problematic, because realistically, you want candy. Like, gum lasts too long. You want to be able to eat something and move on to something else. Or if you like it, you want to be able to have a lot of it. But if you get gum, you're just chewing on a piece of gum for hours, and that's not really fun. So I don't know if gum is really a great Halloween
thing. I don't think gum's a great idea, and
no.
I don't. Oh, I got one for you. Tootsie Pops.
Oh, yeah. You've hated these for years.
Tootsie Pops, not a fan?
Don't even.
Really? You never really wondered how many licks it takes to get to the center of Tootsie Pop?
No, I didn't care.
Okay.
I'm going to break it and get to the center.
Okay.
I don't like the candy and the chocolate. I don't like fruit and chocolate together.
Okay.
I knew that as a... chocolate-covered cherries?
Chocolate-covered cherries.
Box. Oh, yes. Though I forget the name of
did
those.
Did you like that?
I didn't like them. And do you want to know why? It's
why?
Because the photo on the front is so off-putting. I've never even tried it. So I'm open to being convinced.
But the front
cover of this, it's called a cherry blossom. That's it. And if
you've never had them, look it up.
If you pull it up, the cover of this looks kind of gross. I don't know. The candy itself might be delicious.
Oh, this is terrible.
See what I'm saying?
This is horrible.
It looks like it should be on the front cover of a cigarette package as a warning.
No, this thing, the cherry. Oh my gosh, it looks terrible.
So I will say, having experienced many Halloweens in my past life, that box never made it.
I know.
To home.
What is
it? It got smashed.
It's a Canadian.
And it went over to some other things.
Yeah.
I'm reading here. Hershey Canada Inc. used to produce it at its Canadian manufacturing facility.
Hey, you had a lot of
Smiths Falls, Ontario.
Smiths Falls Smiths Falls.
Good morning,
Smiths
Falls. The cherry book. This looks like that. This looks like that page in the health book that everyone in school in like grade 7 was like, look what's on page 7. That's what that looks like.
Yeah.
Tootsie. Now, I got to go back to Tootsie Rolls. If you gave me the Tootsie Rolls,
then we're fine.
We are fine.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm getting particular on this.
Now, people are saying, what about people who give out cans of pop? Full
terrible.
Can of pop.
Why are you doing that?
Very
you know, I'm 5 years old, and I'm dragging this thing down the road, and then I open it up, and it explodes everywhere. Not cans of pop. You know what? And please don't do that. Now, who came up with that idea?
I don't know. Hey, I'm like scarred for life after looking at cherry blossoms.
Don't give out juice boxes either. I saw somebody when Adam came home one time. Hi, Scarborough. Good morning, Bathgate Drive. He had two juice boxes. I said, no, that's a person who didn't try.
You don't think that's a good idea?
No, because it's heavy.
It is heavy.
I guess it is heavy. But I'm thinking, as a kid, Marilyn, as a kid, walking, you know, through the neighborhood, getting all that candy.
Right.
If you get a juice box, you're like, oh, cool, I can refresh while I'm walking around, no?
They tell you never to eat or drink anything
while
you're walking from house to house.
Good call, good call.
ever.
Okay.
That's a rule I remember.
Oh, the fans of Cherry Blossom are coming in finally. And the soap gum. There's all three of you, but we hear you.
Okay, talk to me about the soap gum one more time.
Okay.
Does it taste like soap?
It does.
Is it called soap gum?
It is called Thrills. If you look it up, every single color, it's like Chiclets. They look like Chiclets, and they're purple, and they trick you. It's like something you would get at the It store back in the day.
Oh,
and you would look at it, and you're like, oh, these look good. Maybe it's grape. And then little three-year-old Caitlin was like, no, why is my mouth being washed out with soap? This feels like a punishment from my grandmother. And instead, it's gum.
Okay, did you guys like getting at the door?
I like getting, like, Nerds.
Okay.
You ever see the Nerds in the packet?
Yeah.
You get the little box with, like, the little tiny candies. On either side of the box, you get, like, purple or pink. I don't know what the flavors really were. But, you know, they're great. And you get a choice of, you know, you throw them in your mouth, and they're great.
What about you, Caitlin? What was your favorite?
I was a Kit Kat girl.
Yeah.
I look for the Kit Kats.
Good. That's
okay.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Good memories. We're just trying to help you out there. Good and Plenty. I don't know if they're making any more. Give them to your grandfather. They're black licorice. Awful.
That's crazy.
Kids don't like
this black cherry blossom thing. I'll never unsee that.
I'm sorry.
It has a real cherry in there. Sauce drips out when eating it. Oh my goodness!
If you go to Purdy's Chocolate and get a chocolate covered cherry, that's delicious.
All right.
But then that other thing is not good.
Do it.
Yeah. What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green?
Let me know.
So I've got a trending vaccine update for you. After Pfizer recently submitted its vaccine for approval in children aged 5 to 11 to Health Canada, experts say they believe it could be approved for use in the first half of November. So coming up soon. So parents, anyone who works with children, just keep that ballpark date in mind. And then in other trending COVID news, Ed Sheeran revealed on his Instagram that he is isolating after testing positive for COVID-19. That throws a serious wrench in SNL's plans to have him as musical guest on November 6th. He's supposed to be the guest with host Kieran Culkin from Succession, of course. Producers are now said to be scrambling to figure out who is going to replace Ed Sheeran. He said, hey, I'll do it over Zoom. Like, he offered to do a video. And they said, no, this is Saturday Night Live. We want somebody who's going to be in studio. And I guess he tested positive hours after the news went public. So really awkward timing. They're trying to figure out what to do. But I don't think we're going to be seeing Ed on November 6th.
But you said that maybe Taylor Swift might be joining us.
Yeah, that's the blog rumors right now in the entertainment world, is that because she is New York based and because she's there filming something right now and she's buddies with Ed, maybe she'd help them out and try to step in. So we'll have to see. Now, the investigation into what happened on the set of that Alec Baldwin film Rust is still trending this morning. So for anyone unfamiliar with the story, Alec Baldwin fatally shot the film's cinematographer and injured the film's director last week. So police are still going over all the details. The investigation's still really in early days, but what we do know is that the weapon he was handed for the movie scene had a live round in it. And the accident occurred during a scene rehearsal. The camera team had been huddling together to review the camera framing, and an assistant director handed the weapon to Baldwin and told him that it was, quote, cold, meaning it wasn't loaded with blanks or any kind of ammunition. Obviously not the case. The person responsible for the weapons on set is a 24-year-old who was on just her second film shoot. Now, this would probably be the prop master on set. And another revelation came from IATSE. This is, of course, the union responsible for lots of film and television crews in Hollywood and all throughout North America. And they said this was a non-union individual. And they're still trying to figure out if anyone from IATSE was actually on set.
Can you explain why the unionization matters, like what's like for those who may not understand?
So if you're a member of IATSE, you've gone through some fairly regimented training. You've spent a certain number of hours on set. You're very familiar. You're a pro. And as a result, you're probably granted a certain amount of legal protection in the event that something goes wrong. The union will step in and represent you and look into things. And you might have a better handle on how things work on set. And the idea is that, you know, if this is sort of a way that maybe the team decided they were going to cut costs, is by having a non-unionized set, picking greener staff. This is, again, just sort of being discussed now online.
It's like professional taxi driver versus rideshare.
Yeah, that's kind of what people are concerned about. And the prior weekend, the movie had two other, quote, accidental prop gun discharges. And on the day of the incident, a half dozen crew members walked off the set in protest of working conditions. So this was considered a low-budget film by Hollywood standards. So you're seeing a lot of people discussing now, what will this do in terms of changing the way production's handled moving forward? Mm-hmm. This is not an isolated incident when it comes to people who've unfortunately lost their lives on set due to prop guns, misfiring, or being handled incorrectly.
This story is so wild to me.
Yeah, it is.
Just from the standpoint of it, like, you don't passively load a gun with live munitions. Mm-hmm. That's something you just do actively.
Yeah.
I'm loading this gun.
Yes. And why would Alec be handed a weapon that was hot and filled with live ammunition?
That somebody loaded.
And then have someone have the assistant director say, hey, this is cold. And he's going, oh, second nature. Okay, thanks, man. And then it turns out that there was a live round in.
And to say it's cold means you checked it.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
You don't just guess it's cold. You say it's cold because I looked at it and it's cold.
Yep.
So who loaded it and who checked it? And then at what point did that disconnect happen?
And rumors are, or maybe they're not rumors, that things were not going well on this shoot.
Exactly.
So maybe somebody got angry.
So foul play.
Yeah. I think that's what happened.
So we're talking about, at the very least, clearly a lot of negligence. Who bears ultimate legal responsibility for this? They'll have to figure out in the next few weeks. But again, they're looking at this from the perspective of how can we change everything and make movie sets and ensure that movie sets are safer moving forward.
Wow, what a story.
Terrible story.
Marilyn, Dennis, and Jamar. Podcast. Chum 104.5. Podcast.